How many people are here because you couldn't stop drinking? Beautiful. Me too. So, what's really crazy about that is that, so I came here because I couldn't stop drinking. I haven't had a drink now for about 14 years. I'm still, let's say sometimes off balance, my priorities are mixed up, I'm flawed, I chase money, I'm envious, I'm selfish, I'm lazy, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm pissed, which is all stuff that happened a long time before I even picked up a drink. Which is actually one of the reasons why I even picked up a drink to begin with. Because that that kind of helped, you know, even things out, numb things out. In my personal story, I have had other forms of alcohol or mind-altering substances that didn't necessarily come in a bottle. And as I go on in recovery, that's the stuff I need to really watch out for. It can be the, you know, the business. It can be the money. It can be watching movies. It can be looking at porn. It can be being judgmental. It can be all kinds of other stuff. Because I'm a human being and we have instincts. Instincts gone astray is, for me, how I ended up here. I was scared, I was pissed, I was mistreated, I drank too much, I did some other stuff, this happens to be my story. People said, listen, this is unacceptable, you're being a jerk, you can't go make out with employees in the bathroom and expect to be a manager, you can't make out with your sister's fiance and be welcome in the home. You're like, that's just not, we're not going to tolerate it. And I said, how dare they? This is not fair. This is unjust. So we talk in the big book about how we get to, like, we decide that the world and the people in it are often wrong and sick. And that's as far as we get. We just go, like, you know, I would say, my stepfather is a pedophile, and that's wrong and sick. And I'm not going to take that back, by the way. I'm going to hang on to that decision. So I'm going to say, that's wrong and that's sick, and that harmed me, and so now what? Apparently, the rest of the world is not going to be okay with me just drinking and acting like a schmuck for the rest of my life. They're not. Because they told me so, which is why I came here. So I came in here, other people said, yeah, you know, the rest of the world had enough with us too. The boss said, come in here. The shrink said, come in here. The doctor said, you know, you have pancreatitis. You have to come in here. Maybe you almost died. Maybe you almost killed someone. Maybe you went to jail. There's people in jail right now. So we came in here. And other people said, oh, I had that same problem. Now I don't drink anymore. Now I don't drink anymore. So I had to come in here and hear from other people how to not drink a day at a time. Honestly, in the beginning, it was a day, it was sometimes even an hour at a time. It was not, let me get through the rest of this day without drinking. And I believe that God works through other people. He may work for me personally. I believe he works through nature, circumstance. Maybe there's no such thing as coincidence. Maybe there are signs. So people share that message with me. If you don't have to drink. You don't have to drink even if you want to. You can want to drink all day long. People understood my pain, my angst, my resentments, my hostilities, my fear. They said, you know what? We were exactly like you. Now we're not. Now we still feel that way sometimes, but we don't drink. So to me, the power of the message came through other people, through their example. And I was pretty leery about trusting these other people because often I had been burned in life. People, you know, like, I feel like I lived my life kind of on a merry-go-round. Like, things were always moving, and there were, like, weird, scary figures, and it was always spinning. I could never, like, quite catch my balance. But you know what really helped take the edge off of things? I think you guys know. So I got a loving sponsor who guided me through the steps and said, listen, we got to clear some of this junk up. It's the, you don't just have a drinking problem, you have a thinking problem. You have a drinking problem because you have a thinking problem. It's not what really happens that matters so much as how we think about it and what our actions are about it. So if bad things happen to me, which they do, then what do I do with it? So often I was very maladapted. So I figured that out I made a decision to go through with the rest of the steps. I found my inventory in step 4. I keep using all that information that I got in my inventory through the rest of my steps. I didn't burn mine or, you know, some people did whatever with them. It's a really good tool, and it's a really good way of finding out about yourself in kind of a, I'm not going to say not judgmental, in a way that you could just, like, see it. Like, that's what's there, as a matter of fact. Like, this is what you got going on. So me, I had all kinds of forms of anger, and I wrote them all down. With the help of my sponsor, we went through, and we saw what we had gotten out of the last column in step 4. I had anger, annoyance, irritation, and like many forms of that. I didn't feel very good about myself. I had low self-esteem. I felt like I was a piece of garbage. Felt maybe sometimes like I deserved things that happened to me, that people looked down upon me, that I was nervous, that I didn't, you know, I didn't quite feel right. And I'm not going to go through like everything on my list, because you have your own list, and it's probably not really that different, even though certain, you know, the biography of your life is not going to be the same as mine. And I know this is a grown-up meeting, and most of you guys have done your steps, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's different ways of getting to that information. You can do it, you know, through the 4-step in the big book. You can do it through Hazelton. You can do it with a shrink. You can do it, you know, all kinds of other ways. Now, for me, in my recovery process, there was other additional information and tools which we used, like a lot of them. So I also, for this step, I use this book called Drop the Rock. And what I started doing was looking at my behavior, right? I looked at the way I felt, right? I was pissed off and resentful and withholding and scared and all that kind of stuff. So I had a list of all those things. Those were, let's say, defects. You can call them defects or sins or whatever. They're kind of like a derivative of sins, I think. So I wrote those down, and then I wrote down the opposite of that, like the correlate to that. So instead of being selfish, I would be giving. Instead of being resentful, I would be forgiving, right? So I already knew like the bad stuff. Then you got to figure out, okay, what about the good stuff? So the biggest problem I ever had in my life was that I drank too much and I couldn't stop drinking. And I didn't want to come in here. Later on, and that's huge, right? There's people who die from this disease. There's people who are locked up because of this disease. There's people who kill other people because of this disease. There's babies born that are in orphanages because of this disease. There's child abuse. There's all kinds of just horrible, evil stuff because of this disease. And we've been spared. at least for today, for this moment, we've been spared and we're all in here. The way that I was spared from that was because of God. When I wanted to drink, I would pray to God and say, please help me not drink. And then I would go hang out with other people who were godly. And I don't mean priests and rabbis. I mean a bunch of drunks, a group of drunks, who would get me through that time. So that's how you get like a little bit of God-centered instead of self-centered. Like you kind of like let other people sort of like seep in and listen, you know, listen to what they have to say. And how did you get through that? And what about this? And they've already been down this road, you know. To me, it's, to me, there's all kinds of analogies, but to me, it's like, if you've ever gone to the Grand Canyon, it's one of the most beautiful things in the world. And if you've ever taken somebody, or let's say maybe Disney, a lot more people have probably gone to Disney World than there. If you've ever taken somebody who's never gone, it's like a real treat, right? Because they don't know how awesome it is. You know how awesome it is because you've been there. And some people want to skip like the donkey ride down to the canyon or going and standing over the edge or, you know, doing the log flume ride, for example. But you know it's freaking awesome. So you want to take somebody with you because it's fun and they're missing out on it. And you can like sort of bumble through that by yourself, or you can go with somebody who knows the best rides and the best way to look at it and the best way to do it. And to me, that's, you know, going through the steps. So there's the way to miss out on that stuff is to not go. You're missing out by not going. Go. It's fun. It's cool. It'll open your eyes to all kinds of stuff. And everyone's going to have their own perspective on that. But the real deal is to clear away some self-will and get to know some God's will. I'm going to read a little bit to you. The list part of it, honestly, is a little, you know, it's not exciting reading. For me it is because I've been asked to do this, so I get a chance to revisit it. Otherwise, much as what I just told you, right, I like to take the easier, softer way every time. Every time. 15 years later, every time. Easier, softer way? Yes. Shortcut? Yes. Skip it? Absolutely. Because I'm so busy doing what, I couldn't even tell you. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. Any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step 6 on all his faults has indeed come a long way spiritually and is therefore entitled to be called a man who is sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his own creator. That's a lot different than not drinking for me. I mean, I created my own conception of God. My conception of God does not include lazy, slothful, lustful, envious shortcuts. So by really getting into this, I had to become willing. Albert Einstein talks about you can't cure a level of thinking with the same thinking that created the problem. So you have to elevate that somehow, right? I could not stop drinking without coming in here and hearing from people who stopped drinking because other people had used the tools and figured it out and could tell me how to do it. Same thing with my character defects, I believe. So if I want to become more God-centered, it's not going to come from me. I couldn't even stop drinking, let alone checking, you know, looking at her awesome car and checking out her hot boyfriend and all, like, the rest of it that happens all the time up here, whether I'm picking up a drink or not. The chief activator of our defects has been self-centered fear. primarily fear that we would lose something we already possessed or fail to get something we demanded. Living upon a basis of unsatisfied demands, we are in a state of continual disturbance and frustration. Therefore, no peace was to be had unless we could find a means of reducing these demands. The whole emphasis on step 7 is on humility. It is really saying to us that we ought now to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting any other problem we could possibly have. I actually forget that all the time. I'm thinking, oh, let me see how the bank balance is doing. Why is my boyfriend such a slob? Like all kind, just, you know, I forget that I'm completely blessed, that I've been spared from the alcoholic scrap heap. Spared from the alcoholic scrap heap. There's also a saying that who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God. We needn't always be bludgeoned and beaten into humility. It could come quite as much from our voluntary reaching for it as it could from unremitting suffering. Now, if you know a little bit about me by now, you know I'm not really interested in suffering. Not really that interested in character development. I'm not really interested in ego puncturing. And some stuff, when you're working on this, when you're praying on this, like people say, oh, be careful. Be careful to not ask for patience because it will be tried. You will be behind the, you know, the slowest driver in town. You'll be in the longest line at Winn-Dixie. If you pray, the test will be on. And the way that you get some of this stuff is by going through it, right? It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to talk about it. But the real deal is doing it. And then, you know, over time, kind of, just as today, it's not my, I don't think about drinking regularly. I don't go like, oh man, I really want to drink. I remember where I came from. I have other people, this part for me is key. I have other people who call me on stuff, and I call them on stuff. I have a particular friend that likes to gossip, and I'll be like, listen, I don't want to hear, you know, nonsense about somebody else. If you have an issue with somebody, talk to them about it. That's the straight up thing to do. Gossip is a form of character assassination. Not going to say that I don't do it ever, because I do. I'm still completely fallible. My goal is to grow in the image and likeness in my Creator. And my feet are made out of clay. You know, I'm with some drunk chick who came in here trying to save her job. I don't even have that job to that day. All that stuff I was trying to like hang on to so desperately, I don't have hardly any of that. So I had a loving sponsor who led me through the process. I had the tools of this book, I also went to group therapy for some of the particular issues that I discussed with you. I went to individual therapy as well. And I do service, so I get to revisit that in times like now or when I'm doing these exercises with sponsees and taking them through this ride, which is a beautiful, amazing ride. So that's about it. Why don't we pass the baskets?